But, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us also, Lord, and that you would speak to us just wherever we're at today. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys doing good? Hey, anybody here NBA fans, basketball fans? You guys like that? I'm a huge basketball fan, mainly a Lakers fan, and the NBA Finals ended up this last week. You guys watched that? I wasn't gonna watch it, but because I didn't really have a horse in the race. But I started watching it. It's like, man, this is actually a good matchup. Did you guys watch the NBA Finals? I mean, it was probably the best finals that I've seen since 1988. The other Game 7 with the Lakers when they beat the Pistons, but. The interesting thing, I didn't have a rooting interest, but if you guys watched the game, the series, it was just heartbreaking for the San Antonio Spurs. They were up and Game 6 they were about to win. They were up 5 points with 28 seconds left, and Miami Heat fans started leaving the arena. They left the arena, 28 seconds left, and crazy things happened, turnovers, crazy three-point shots, and they went into overtime, and all these people just went outside, and they heard it's like, oh, we need to go back in, but the tickets, there's no re-entry. So there's all these people outside that just left, and they were like, oh, it's going to overtime, and they wouldn't let them back in, right? Miami Heat end up pulling out that game in overtime, and they were about to lose, right? Five points, 28 seconds left, and they pushed it to Game 6 Game 7, and then Game 7, I mean, it came right to the end, and you know, the last couple of plays, and the crazy thing was this: for the San Antonio Spurs, one of their clutch players, Manu Ginobili, in Game 6, he had 8 turnovers, right? He kept on turning the ball over at the end. And then even at Game 7, and a crucial turnover on the last play of the game, you know, and the thing was, they were about to win this and to knock off the reigning champions, and they were just devastated. They lost, right? And it was one of these things where they almost had it. I mean, good effort, good try. They were on the doorstep of being champions again, and it was just taken away from them. It's kind of like, can you imagine the worst feeling ever? Something that you can almost taste it, the thing that you really want so much, and you think you have it, and it was like this thing where it was taken away from you. And it's kind of one of these things where, like, if you're the coach of that team, what do you say to those guys? Nice try, good effort, you almost had, we had them, we were this close. I mean, what do you say, right? Close but no cigar. What do you say to that? I mean, imagine the feeling of disappointment of thinking that you're working for something, thinking that you have something, and it just gets taken away. And imagine that feeling, but not about sports. Imagine that, having that feeling about life. Imagine having that feeling about eternity. And heaven and hell and your relationship with God. That imagine that moment, you after you live your life on this earth, you try to be a good person, you go to church and do all this stuff, you meet God and he says to you, nice try. You almost had it. You almost had it. You were really close. You know? Imagine feeling that. And Jesus gives us a warning in several different places. And the Bible gives us a warning about getting really close, but not close enough. Trying really hard, but still missing out. Because this is the thing. I mean, you could be really close on the doorstep of eternity, of a relationship with God, of heaven, and it still be, ooh, you're that close, but you just missed it. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, he says this. He says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? It's like, it's not just that you call my name, you go to church, you sing songs. And he says, on that day, not just a few, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all this good stuff? Did miracles? We helped the poor. We came to church. We sang songs. We went to the prayer meeting. We passed out food. Didn't we do all these good things for you? And Jesus says, and I will turn to them and I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. He's a nice try. You were close, but you didn't get in. I mean, imagine that. That thought used to keep me up at night as a young Christian. I was really, literally worried because, you know, I came from a family that, I had a lot of baggage, and it took me a while to clean myself up from all the baggage that I grew up with. And I used to think, man, if I met Jesus right now, what is he going to say to me? Is he going to say, ooh, you did good. Good effort. Nice try, but it's not enough, right? I used to be worried about that. You know, I was like, man, am I sure? How can I be sure? And this is the one thing I want to talk to you about today. Do you ever ask that question? You know, you ever wonder about, okay, am I doing enough? What does Jesus feel about me? You know, am I getting in? And am I doing enough? And this is what I want us to do, to talk about. That today, I believe some of us need a little bit of assurance. Some of us need to be sure about these things. Because if I were to ask you, why do you feel, for those of you guys who feel like, you know what, I think I'm in good standing with Jesus, I would ask you the question, why do you think you're in good standing with Jesus, right? Well, and we would say, yeah, I feel good, because I meet people all the time who say, well, I think I could stand before God because I think I'm a pretty good person, right? Good compared to who? I mean, that's the question. And so we're going to look into the Bible, and honestly, I would be a bad pastor if I didn't warn you about these things and taking it seriously, because the Apostle Paul, he actually tells a group of Christians, he says this, test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. He's telling that to Christians, right, or people who go to church. He says, test yourselves to see whether you're really in the faith. And today we're in Mark chapter 12, and we're continuing on in our series called Rediscovering Jesus, walking through the Gospel of Mark. We've been here for I don't know how many months, but we're in Mark chapter 12 today. And we're going to read from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. If it's in the paperback Bibles, there's some in front of you. I think it's page 708, 709, something like that. So let me give you a little bit of background about what's going on here. This is 2 to 3 days before Jesus gets arrested and crucified. So he only has a few more days left. And during this time, he's in Jerusalem. And we talked about the last couple of weeks, he starts challenging people. He turns over the tables of the money changers, and he starts whipping people. That's a crazy story. And he starts cursing the Pharisees and telling them all this stuff. And all these religious people come up to him and challenge him, try to test him. They try to get him to slip up in what he's saying so they could come and arrest him and all these different things. So all these religious people, they thought they had it right. They thought they had it down. You know, they were living a life that they thought was righteous. They thought they were doing the right thing. They were going to church, reading the Bible, trying to follow the commandments, doing all this stuff. And they had this assurance about themselves that we're right. But Jesus is like, man, you guys have this assurance about yourselves that God will accept you, but it's a false assurance. It's a false foundation. And if what Jesus was saying to them is, you guys are coming close, but you're also still far away. I mean, you're doing some good stuff. You know, you're close, but it's not enough. You almost make your it's nice try, but you're not really there yet. And we're going to read from verse 28. But if you have your bulletins, there's a sermon outline on the other side. There's some fill in the blanks there. This is the first fill in the blank, the main thought of what I want to talk about today. Okay, and I'll read the passage after this. This is the main thought, that religion, okay, religion, us trying to do good, do our best. Religion will get us near the kingdom of God, get us to the front door. But it cannot take us inside. Religion will get us near the kingdom of God, but it cannot take us inside. It gets us close, but will not take us inside, okay? Let me read from Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And so this is a story. Another one of these people come up to Jesus to ask him a question. One of these religious guys. And this guy is a scribe, which means, you know, he's a smart, he's a scholar, and he knows this stuff. And verse 28 says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Well, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is a book of Moses. And he quotes Moses, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher. So the guy was kind of testing Jesus, right? Well said, teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, nice try. You're getting close. He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared to ask him a question. I mean, did you see that? He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. This is what he's saying. You're like, oh, is that a compliment? Not really. He's saying, you're coming close, but you're not inside yet, right? This guy devoted his life to studying the Bible, following everything everything the Bible says. He gave, he served the poor, did all this stuff, memorized scriptures, gave his whole life to studying the word and doing what it says. And Jesus says, you know all the stuff in your head. You're getting real close, but you're not inside yet. Right? So this is the thing. These people back then were real religious. They're all about doing the right thing, about reading the Bible, going to church, giving sacrifices, giving to the poor, doing all this stuff. And Jesus is like, okay, your religion, all those things that you do, your rituals, all those different things that you do, gets you really close to the kingdom of God, but you're not inside it yet. And so the question is for us, how many of us are in the same place as this guy here? So this is what I want to do. I want to talk about what religion tells us to do. That a lot of us, we think religion is the ticket to get us inside the kingdom of God, having a relationship with God. So there's four things I want to talk about what religion tells us to do and why it's actually a false foundation to build your life on. What religion tells you to do is not enough, all right? And you're gonna see this this outline, and you're gonna like scratch your head for a second, but I'll explain it, okay? What religion tells us to do? There's four things. Number one, religion tells us to seek God. Okay, seek God. In this story, this guy comes up to Jesus, and he's asking some really good questions. He's seeking out the Jesus. He says, Jesus, I got a question for you. Can you tell me what I need to do to please God? What is the most important thing? Right? And we see that this person is asking Jesus questions, seeking how he should rearrange his life. And is that a good thing? That is absolutely a good thing. But Jesus says, that's still not enough. Right? Just because you come to church, just because you open the Bible once in a while, just because you come and sing songs and you pray and you go to a small group, whatever, that's good. But is that the thing that will get you into heaven? Is that the thing that is it? If you come and you say, you know what? You know, every once in a while, I'll go to church. You know, a lot of us, we feel guilty. Oh, we did bad. So we come to church and we're like, you know, I went there, I sang some songs. I feel good about myself now. Let me just go home. Right? If that's all you do, is that enough? Seek God. This guy was seeking Jesus, and Jesus is like, nice try. You're close. You're close, but you're not there yet, right? Second thing, number two, what religion tells us to do is to study the scriptures or study the Bible. And there's this guy in this conversation, he knew all about the Bible, and Jesus quotes the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he goes, I know that one. And you hear what he's saying? He asked Jesus to test Jesus, and he says, Jesus, you're right. I was just testing you. I knew the answer. You're right. You got the right answer, Jesus. So he knew all about this, right? And then in verse 35, it goes on. It says, while Jesus was teaching, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, how is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking of the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet. David himself called him Lord. How can he then be called his son? A large crowd listened to him with delight. You notice there was all these people sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus was breaking down the word. And they were like, oh man, Jesus, that's some good stuff. They were listening to him with delight. They're like, oh, the Bible, that's some good stuff, Jesus. I know, but can you teach us some more? And I want to say, is that enough? If you seek God, you study the Bible, you listen to the teaching, you're like, oh, that's the good stuff. And is that enough? They were interested in Jesus' teaching. And we see that, no. Religion tells you that if you seek God, you study the Bible, that's enough. That's going to get you there. But that's not enough. The third thing that religion tells us to do is that we're supposed to do good. We're supposed to do good, right? In verse 38, as Jesus taught, he said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Okay, and this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, all the religious people, all the dudes with the nice robes. And they say, these are the most respected people in the whole community because they were so righteous. They knew the word. They did everything according to the right way, and they did good. I mean, it was required. If you were a Pharisee, it was required of you to give certain amount of money away, right? Over the top of what everyone else gave. You had to follow the rules of keeping the Sabbath and what you ate, and you couldn't cut corners. It was very strict. They did all this stuff to honor God and to please God or try to follow the rules. And Jesus said, you see those religious people? They're doing good. But guess what? He says, these people are going to be punished even more severely. So that's not enough, right? Because he says, if you peel away their heart, I mean, they're still just as messed up as the rest of everyone, the rest of the world. They just look good on the outside, right? They did a lot of good on the outside. But he says, these people, these teachers of the law, they're going to be punished even more severely. And, okay, the religion tells us to seek God, study the Bible, do good, right? And we think, okay, if I do that, that's good. Am I good with God if I do those things? No, not really, not yet. The fourth thing that religion tells us is, in order to please God, is to give money, right? So if you seek God, come to church, you read the Bible, you go out there and you do good, you help some people, and you give money to the poor, isn't that good? If I were to give you a list of things to do to make sure you're in right relationship with God, seek God, study the Bible, do good, give money, isn't that good? Shouldn't I be confident? And in verse 41, this is what Jesus says. He says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. I mean, and she had two coins, and it's only worth you put it together, it's not even a penny, right? Calling his disciples to him, he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And Jesus was saying, you see all those rich guys out there, right, with the nice chariots with the rims on it? You know, they're rolling up to the church, and they're dropping in their coins, right? They walk away thinking, hey, we did good. And Jesus is like, no, that's not enough. You think you should just come in and give me a tip, and that's you're good with me, right? So this is what I want to get you at, okay? religion tells us in order to earn God's approval, to get into the kingdom of God, we need to seek him, we need to study the word, we need to do good, we need to give money. And if you do those things, we're good, right? This is what most churches, whatever, you go to church and you do these things, you probably get a star on the attendance chart in Sunday school if you do all that stuff, right? But Jesus says, nice try, close, but you're not inside yet. I mean, this is a warning for us because, like I said, in Matthew chapter 7, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. It's not just a few, not just one or two. He says, many. And I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. You got to depart. I don't know who you are. Right? You don't belong here. You're not one of mine. And this is what I want to talk about. What is religion missing? Because we're not about religion, following rules. We're about following Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. So what is religion missing? And I have four things that religion is missing. Number one, religion is missing a spirit of brokenness. Spirit of brokenness. You know, in that section where Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he says, you need to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And this guy says, oh, Jesus, you got the right answer. What he should have felt was this. Jesus, you mean all? Love you with all? I can't do that. I've never done that. If that's what you want, man, I fall short. I'm so selfish. I barely love you. I barely do anything. I do everything for me. And you want me to love you with everything I have and all that I am? I mean, that shouldn't have been good news to this guy. This should have made this guy fall down to his knees and weep and says, Jesus, if that's what you want, I've never done that in my whole life. And if that's what I'm broken. It should have made him feel deep in, down inside that he's fallen short of what God requires of him. You know, like the Bible teaches us very clearly that we were created by God to have a relationship with the Father, but we rebelled against him. We sin, we turn our backs against God. God gave us his blessing, he's pouring out his blessing, and we turn our backs on him and says, God, I don't want you, I don't want a relationship with you anymore. I want to pursue my own way. I don't want you to be the boss. I want to be my own boss. And it leads us into sin. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and because we choose to follow sin, we're going to earn for ourselves death. Death physically, one day our body's going to die. Death spiritually, we have separation from God, and eventually death eternally, right? Eternity in hell without God if we don't get right with him. And the Bible also tells us that if we're in our sin, because we're in our sin, we cannot save ourselves, that there is no good works we can do to make up for our sin. Like, there's nothing. You can't do work good enough to make up for all those things that you've done. And it should lead us to a point of brokenness, a point of despair, and a point of saying, Jesus, if that's what you want, I can't do that. I really need your help. I can't save myself. I need someone else to save me. So the religion is missing a spirit of brokenness, right? So, I mean, that's what we need. We need a spirit of brokenness. What else is religion missing? Number two, religion is missing a personal relationship with God. Personal relationship with God. Religion, these religious people, and I bet you there's a lot of us here that are religious people. We read the Bible, we go to church, but the question is, do you have a personal relationship with God? In verse 35 and then verse 37, Jesus quotes this thing from the Psalms. He's quoted King David. He's saying the background of the story is that the Messiah, the Savior, he was called the Son of David. That David was the most famous king of Israel's history. And he says, someone from the line of David is going to come and he's going to become the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ. and he's called the, and so people call him the son of David, right? So the son, oh, son of David. Even when the demons fell down, he said, oh, son of David, why have you come here? So that was a title for the Messiah, for the king. But Jesus starts saying, why do you call him the son of David when David calls him Lord? So he's saying, you know what, this thing that you're this religion that you guys made up is just this idea. It's not about, it's just following these rules. You made it about rules, but it's not about rules. It's about a person. It's about me. It's like you try to, in John chapter 5, this is what he says. He says, you search the scriptures believing that in following the scriptures, you think you have life. He says, no, you got it all wrong. The scriptures testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So you got it all wrong. It's about having a relationship with me. So this is the thing. Our faith is not about you come and learn the Bible so you take it home and you try to be a better person. It's about you coming in a real interaction, having a personal relationship with Jesus, where you know the name of Jesus, you know the voice of Jesus, and Jesus speaks to you. In John chapter 10, it's very clear that Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. He says, I speak to them, I call them out, and he says, if you don't know my voice, you're not one of my sheep. You're not part of me. So if your faith is based on doing stuff to try to get right with God, but you don't have a relationship, I mean, you don't crack the book when you get home, you don't pray, and you don't talk to Jesus, you don't hear Jesus talk, that, you know, it causes me to wonder. You know, I do these different discipleship studies, and we talk about trying to find God's will for your life. And all these people, new Christians that come to my house on Sunday nights, they're like, I don't know. How do you hear God's word? I don't think I ever heard God speak to me. And I'm thinking, I don't know what God, they say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know all this stuff. And I was thinking, in my life, man, Jesus won't stop talking to me. Like, seriously. He keeps, I mean, all the time. I can't even turn it off. He keeps on talking to me because... And usually it's not encouraging, so it's like, hey, stop! Don't be so stupid. You know, stop doing that. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Right? It's not about you coming to church and trying to be a good person. Religion is missing a relationship with God. And the gospel, this is the story of the gospel. The gospel, me and my daughter, Emily, she's helped me trying to write this little children's story about the gospel. We're calling it The Good King. And it's a story about a father who has his children taken away from him, right? Kidnapped by this evil guy. And the story about the good king is that the king goes on an all-out search to find his children and bring them back home. Right? And that's the story about God, that we are children of the Most High God, of our Creator, and that we've been kidnapped and we've been lied to and we've been turned away from God. But He's searching out for us, and He wants to reconnect and have a relationship with us. And that's, I mean, it's not a religion. It's you need to have a relationship with God, okay? So what is religion missing? It's missing brokenness. It's missing a relationship with God. You know, you could do a lot of good stuff and still not have a relationship with God. Number three, what is it missing? It's missing transformation of my character. Transformation of my character. In verse 38 through verse 40, it talks about these Pharisees, these teachers of the law. He says they know the right things to say. They walk around, they say the big prayers, and they go to church, they give the money, do all this stuff. But he says these people inside, you know what they are? They're a bunch of hypocrites. Right? Religious hypocrites. Jesus confronts them earlier. He says, you know what these guys are? These guys are like whitewashed tombs. He's like, these guys, it looks like whitewashed tombs. He's like, you ever go to a graveyard, you know, a nice graveyard, like one of the military graveyards with the nice, you know, everything's in a row, everything's shiny. He's like, it looks nice, but if you dig under 6 feet, what are you going to find? Dead men's bones. It's like, that's what these people look like. It looks like they're whitewashed tombs, but inside, they're like, they have dead men's bones. He says, they wash the outside of the cup, but they leave the inside dirty. And they drink out of it. It's like, hey, look at my nice cup. They're drinking it out. It's all dirty inside. It's like these are, that's what religious people do, and there's no transformation of their character. And people, this is what I want us to do at City Lights Church. I don't want us to pretend to be good people. I want this church to be a safe place to come and say, you know what? I'm all messed up. You don't want to know what I did last night. And I want this to be a safe place to say, I'm messed up and I need Jesus, and no one's going to judge you here. Okay? And because if you're putting up a front, God can't change you. Right? Religion will not transform you. It cannot. There's no transformation. Okay? Number four, the fourth thing that is missing in religion is it's missing sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. In verse 41 through 44, it talks about this woman who was a widow, who was poor. All she had was two little pesos, right? Because two of them don't even amount to a penny. And that's all she had. And all these rich guys are pulling up in their nice cars or whatever, and they're throwing down cash. And this lady was like, I only got these two little copper coins, two pesos, but I'm going to give it to God. And it says this, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Because God doesn't care about how much cash goes in. It cares about your heart, right? They gave out of their wealth. It didn't mean a thing for them to give their hundreds and their thousands of dollars. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything. Everything. Right? All she had to live on. I mean, she had two coins, right? I mean, would we have gotten out of her if she just put in one? That's 50%, right? But she put in both. And this is the thing. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this woman, this is what he's saying to the disciples. You remember what I was telling you about loving me with everything? Right there. You see that, guys? That's it. See how that woman did? You want to see what it looks like to love me with all you have? That woman just did it. Right there. That's an example of what it looks like. That this woman gave sacrificially. There was no obligation for her to give all that stuff. You give 10%, right? You give 10%, but she gave everything. Right? It was no obligation, but she did that. And it was sacrificial. She did it because she loved God. And there's a story another woman who gave Jesus everything. In Luke chapter 7, there's a story that Jesus was sitting in the house, and there was this woman who had a bad reputation. She was most likely she was a prostitute or somebody. Everyone called her a sinner. And Jesus sitting there, and she came in, and she took her most expensive possession, this jar of perfume. Most likely the jar of perfume was the dowry that she had, that if she was going to get married, this was supposed to be given to her husband's family in order for them to get married. This was the most expensive thing. It was worth a year's worth of wages in this little jar, right? I mean, today is $40,000-$50,000 a year worth of wages, right? And she saw Jesus laying there, and she knew Jesus was talking about he's going to go die, right? So she came up to Jesus, she took her perfume, and she poured it all over Jesus' head, all over his feet, and she cried, and she wept over Jesus, right? And these people are like, who's this crazy woman who just spilled $40,000 on the floor? Right, and Jesus says, this woman, you don't know, but the reason why she could do this, because she has been forgiven much. That's why she loves much, right? So this is the thing. Jesus doesn't talk about following rules. He says, I just want you to love me, right? And the thing is, there's a sense of gratitude when you know how much you've been forgiven. A lot of us, we try to be good people. We try to fake it. We try to be religious. We try to earn God, and we don't realize that we need to be forgiven just as much, right? So this is the thing. For us, we need to know. We need to realize that we need God. We're sinners that are far away from God. That we deserve death, but that we've always been loved by God. And that the Father, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to earth to die on the cross for our sins. That on the cross, The Father took all of our sins and placed it on the body of Jesus. And on the cross, the Father punished Jesus in our behalf. And Jesus traded places with us. He says, I'm going to take your sin and your penalty, and I'm put it on my body. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins so we could trade places. So you get to go and sit up there with my Father in heaven. Right? So when we talk about sacrificial love, it only makes sense for people who realize I am so weak and so ugly and dirty and undeserving. But you did that for me? You died for me? Right? So that's why this woman can give so sacrificially. And we give to God not to earn his love, but because we have received his love. We give to God, we sacrifice for God, we love because he first loved us. So the question for you in this area about sacrificial love is, what are you holding back from God? You know, what is that thing in your life that you have not allowed God, that God has not allowed to ask for? Jesus, I give you, I'll go to church, I'll do this stuff, but just this stuff right here, don't ask for this stuff, right? And how many of us give to God strictly out of our abundance? That it's like, okay, Jesus, when I get a little extra money, I'll give to the church. When I have extra time, I'll come and do this thing. When I have extra, whatever. We give out of our abundance, our time, our energy, our money, but we don't really sacrifice. Right? Sacrificial love is that if you know that you've been forgiven much, man, there's nothing that Jesus can ask that you wouldn't give. Right? So that's the question that I have for you. Are you here and are you a religious person that you feel good because you're a religious person? Or are you coming to meet with God in a spirit of brokenness, seeking a relationship, allowing God to change you? And that you're becoming a person that just loves Jesus. I mean, that's my calling for us today. Is that we become a church that's filled with people that just love Jesus. I mean, that's what our mission statement is, that we love God, we love each other, and we go out and we serve our city. And to be known by those things, right? So let me give you a closing thought. Closing thought here. That the path toward God is not religion, but it's repentance. The path toward God is not religion, but it's repentance. So I want to call all of us today to a point of repentance, of saying, Jesus, I try to do it my own way, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn back to you, and I'm going to follow you. I try to earn your favor and your love, and I try to do all these good things, you know, to come and ask for forgiveness and to repent and to follow him. So let me pray. Lord, we come before you and we just thank you just for this challenging word. And we pray that you would help us to be people, not religious people, but people who are broken, people who are just seek you as our Savior, people who are transformed by you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand how much that we've already been loved so that we can love you back. We pray, Lord, that for those of us here who are not right with you, that you would just make us uncomfortable until we get right with you, Lord. We pray that you would call people to yourself right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Tian, for that. Well, that concludes our service for the day. But before you guys head out, a couple of things I want to point out. First off, offering box. You notice we don't pass offering baskets around here. But if you came prepared to give or God put it on your heart to give, where it goes is there's a black box on a stand in the back of the room. You can just slide it in the top of that box. Any offering could go in there. Or communication cards that you filled out could also go in there as well. And remember, today from 1 to 3, come back for the carnival. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. And then all week long, Monday through Thursday, from 3 to 5:30 is our vacation Bible homeschool with dinner following. So we hope you plan on being a part of all those as much as you're able. So God bless you all. Thanks for being here. And let's clear out of this room because Shoreline Church is going to come in and start their Bible study. So we got 3 minutes to be like completely gone from this room. So let's start those conversations next door in the fellowship hall. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today.